Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Matthew, the fifth chapter, the first 12 verses of that chapter. And these are the opening verses to what is called Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, specifically the Beatitudes. So as I read these ancient words, listen for something new that is being spoken into your life at this point on your faith journey. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecute the prophets who are before you." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was sometime around the year 1840 when a group of folks living in a small community between the towns of Raleigh and Durham decided to organize themselves into a faith community. Unfortunately, we don't know any of the details of this process. We don't know anything about the families. We don't know anything about the timing. We don't know anything about how they came about organizing. But what we can safely assume is that these folks had a vision of what could be. And then they acted on that vision. We don't know where they came from. But somehow the words of a first century itinerant preacher, Jesus of Nazareth, stirred their hearts. Words about abundant life. Words about loving God with all your heart and your soul and your mind, all your being, and your neighbor as yourself. Words like, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Words like this, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." And all these stirrings somehow came together when they heard the words of the Apostle Paul. "Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And I will show you a still more excellent way." That more excellent way was a community grounded in the love of God, a community called Pleasant Grove. And that, my friends, was chapter one. Chapter one of the story. Again, we don't know a lot of details. We don't know exactly where they met initially, except that it was right near here, right near where we are sitting now. Tradition holds that the community first met in a small farmhouse across the street. They had a mission. They were the body of Christ. They had a vision about how to live as the body of Christ in a small community northwest of Raleigh. So they started meeting. Our spiritual forebears met faithfully for half a century. But by the beginning of the 20th century, it was time to build their first sanctuary. They were coming of age, and in 1903, they did it. They built a beautiful sanctuary. And it stood back where the basketball court now is. There it is. 1903. And when they built that, that was chapter 2. Jump ahead about 40 years or so to the 1940s or 1950s, and the Centennial Vision called for more space here. So they built an education building with a fellowship hall in the basement to accommodate their expanding ministries. We now call that the Maddie Bell Building. It's right back there, and our children and our youth still meet there. Scouts use it. Chapter 3 was complete. By 1968, Raleigh was beginning to encroach on the Pleasant Grove community. And with the population around it expanding, the little church seized a renewed vision. They needed a larger sanctuary to accommodate the growth, and voila! Here we are. Chapter 4 in the books. 20 years passed, and toward the end of the 1980s, it was absolutely clear that more and better space was needed for education, specifically children's Sunday school. And the congregation was now having well over 100 people worshiping weekly, and they wanted to share their lives through more fellowship opportunities. So the small fellowship hall in the back was no longer adequate for their vision of ministry. So in 1990, they built the building just adjacent to where we are now. It was an education building and a fellowship hall. Chapter 5, complete. Throughout the 1990s and into the 2000s, Pleasant Grove continued to see growth. And as earlier generations had done, it responded by affirming and reclaiming its mission to be the body of Christ in the world. A time of envisioning ensued, and all aspects of our ministry were reevaluated for effectiveness and faithfulness. And following a generous gift from the estate of Noah Hyder, we were able to purchase the house across the street and refurbish it, and it now is called the Hyder House. And that provided much-needed space for adult education, small group meetings, and added some parking spaces to our property here. Chapter 6, mark it off. Well, in the years since, we have worked to enhance our ministry in the area of programs and personnel by expanding small group ministries, revamping our committee structure, and expanding our church staff. And for the past year, there's been a tremendous effort as we have focused on our facilities and how they might be enhanced to advance our mission today and in the coming years. So last week, if you were here, we launched our building campaign. And you heard all about the plans. And again, pick up the detailed plans in the back or wait, and you'll receive one in the mail in the coming week. It's entitled simply this, God's Vision, the Next Chapter. And it's so entitled because we're about to do something extraordinary, folks. Through the work we've already done over the past few years, coupled with the enhancements we hope to make in our facilities, we're going to write the next story of the next chapter of the story called Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church. Chapter 7. Chapter 7. I like to say 7 is the perfect number. In the Bible, it's used all the place. It's the heavenly number and the earthly number combined. 4 plus 3, 7. Chapter 7. And it's today is the day to think about this, because this past Tuesday was All Saints Day. Today is All Saints Sunday. And you know, Aaron talked about it with the kids. Today we remember our saints. Those folks who somehow touched our lives with the grace of God, and are now no longer with us. Those saints. I mean, we also have living saints, but those who have gone before, we remember today. So who are your saints? Think about it. Who have been the folks who've shaped your lives the most by extending the grace of God to you? The author of Hebrews calls it a great cloud of witnesses. And I like to say, if you think you're a self-made person, don't kid yourself. We're the product of our community. Whatever community that may be, today we gather as that community to remember and to celebrate. Today we remember that we're all called to be saints as we try to reclaim the vision of the body of Christ, and then live into that vision in this place. And remember, we're part of something great, something that goes back millennia. We are part of a body that includes Mary, the mother of Jesus, the 12 disciples, St. Francis of Assisi, Martin Luther King Jr., Mother Teresa, just to name a few. But it doesn't stop there. If you ever get a chance, walk through this cemetery back here. read the stones, read the names, check out the dates. William Smith, 1860. William Henry Cooper, 1894. Charlie Smith, 1910. Sally Haley, 1923. Joseph Kelly, 1948. Claude Edwards, 1969. Vivian Edwards, 2003. I remember Vivian. Do you know any of those names? You should. You should. They went before us, and they made this community possible. 1840s. We've been here since the 1840s, and across those years have always been folks here who have kept the faith alive. They've baptized folks. They've celebrated weddings. They've conducted funerals. They've taught the kids about the grace of God, and they've told them they are of sacred worth. Through this community, the hands of Christ have been extended. And I always say, you and I, most of us, were not raised in this community. Very few of us. If you're over a certain age, just a handful of people were raised in this church. We come from other places. And the odds are astronomical that we would all be here in this place. But we are. We are. We are a community called Pleasant Grove. Is it by chance? Maybe. Maybe not. This is where we worship. This is our place. This is our ministry. Only because of people that have gone before us. They gave us this church. Together with them, we're continuing to touch the world with the love of Christ, and we're going to give it to the next folks who come. Imagine this, 170 years from now, and they're remembering their saints, and they say, oh, yeah, you remember, and our names are remembered. Wow. In just a few minutes during communion, we're going to pause, and we're going to read the names of those saints who have passed away over this past year, since last All Saints Day. And we're going to remember them, and we're going to give thanks for them. And then in our own way, we're going to recommit to the vision they had. We believe that we're the body of Christ. We really believe that. And they've always believed that here. Back since 1840s. We've always believed it. And we believe that we are a unique expression of the body of Christ. One that the world needs. That it wouldn't matter if we exist or not. So I mentioned it last week, but I'll mention it again today. Pat Luna said something to me a while back that has really stuck with me. She said, each of us has been given a non-transferable ministry. A non-transferable ministry. I love that. In other words, I can't do your ministry. You cannot do my ministry. So if I don't do my ministry and you don't do your ministry, it never gets done, ever. Wow. And I said last week, what if Chad Simmons or Danny Sullivan, or Bob Starks, or Marilyn Kennedy, or Jody Cleveland, or Fred Unfler, or any of you, decided not to do the ministry that has been given to you? I hate to even think about it. But it doesn't end there. What if the people in the 1840s, or the 1880s, or the 1920s, or the 1950s, or 90s, had decided not to do the ministry to which they were called? Friends, we would not be here. And all the good that the church has done over the course of about almost two centuries, all the relationships that have been forged in this place, all the grace that has been dispensed would never have happened, never occurred. And I can't even go there. As far as I'm concerned, if you want to wrestle with the nature of your discipleship, if you want to wrestle with the nature of the church, you need to read and take seriously the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Especially the Beatitudes. Blessed are, and you know the words. We read them just a moment ago. For the past 20 centuries, when people hear these words, usually they just see them as nonsensical. They write them off. That's crazy. Those folks aren't blessed, and they move on. How about this? Let me share this thought with you. It has been suggested by some that the Beatitudes are not spoken to individuals apart from the community in which they move. In other words, the Beatitudes only describe the life of those who choose to live and move within a faithful community. It has been suggested that the Beatitudes are descriptive of life in a community that has become an authentic expression of the body of Christ. Doug Winger writes, "It is not true that everyone who mourns will automatically be comforted. We know that is untrue from experience. Those who will be comforted are those who live in community where the caring is genuine." Huh. That just makes everything a little bit more complicated, doesn't it? We won't just sit and point at somebody saying, oh, they're blessed or they're not blessed. No. Now the church has to examine itself. Are we or are we not a community where the poor in spirit are blessed or not blessed because in this place they find or they don't find strength? A community where those who mourn are blessed or not blessed because they find or do not find arms that bind up their broken lives. A community which the meek are blessed or not blessed because they realize or do not realize their unconditional worth. Friends, for the past 170 years, the people of Pleasant Grove have struggled to be a community of blessing to everyone who walks in that door, to this community and to the world. 2 weeks from today is Commitment Sunday. Commitment Sunday for God's vision, the next chapter. And it is my hope that every single person who considers this church their faith community will be here. And further, it is my hope that before we all get here, we'll spend some time, some significant time, soul searching. I know Atlanta and I have begun the process. We've begun the process of reflecting on this and struggling with it. Well, we need to stop before we come in here in the next couple weeks, stop whatever we do that keeps our lives so busy, long enough to reflect on this most important question in the life of this church and in our individual lives as disciples of Jesus. You need to sit down individually or collectively as a family with no distractions. Turn off the TV. And in that holy silence of your lives, ask yourself, what are you being called to give so that the next chapter of a story called Pleasant Grove can be written? 2 weeks, we're going to make a faith statement together. We're going to covenant together to give to a vision that will help us achieve that mission that has been with us since day one. We exist to be the body of Christ in the world. And it's not about equal gifts. It's about equal sacrifice. That's the key. The enthusiasm that I feel building around me in this place and around this idea is exciting. We have so much that goes on here that changes lives. And I'm encouraged to be part of it. And I'm encouraging you to be a part of it. It'll be a sign that the ministry of Christ continues to live on in this place. And in a few minutes, when we share with communion, I want you to think back as you receive the cup, as you receive the bread, remember that at some point Jesus handed that cup to Simon Peter. And it was handed on to somebody else, and handed on to somebody else down to this very day. We're a part of a tradition. It was handed to us. Now we're going to hand it on to someone else. And today, just like it has occurred time and time again, as we commune, we're going to encounter the ineffable presence of God. Wow. So I just say this. Thanks be to God for a community called Pleasant Grove and for its witness in this world. It's time to write the next chapter. Amen.